Booing, I won't be throwing things like they did in Bash at the Beach, but I will be booing.
Or throwing things at Texas and Austin.
I will be so mad if the Niners lose this game. Like their season is on the brink here. I'm not saying the season's over or anything with a loss because you could still win the division. I'm talking about the big picture. Steve Young's alluded to this.
You know, it's,
since when was it just about winning the division? That's never been the case. When the payroll is what it is, when the roster is what it is, it's about winning the whole enchilada.
Oh, now it is?
Yes.
Okay, all right. All
yes.
Right. So I'm okay.
It's about winning the whole enchilada.
Are we okay to say that around
yes,
here?
Yes, and I'm back on your boat.
Because it wasn't. It wasn't. I can't be Super Bowl, but it's really hard to win. By the way, Steve Young, I got a little bone to pick with him. He was one of my favorite quarterbacks growing up.
Still.
Him and Dan Marino.
Yeah.
But early on this season, they say, you know, Brock's going to need to use his legs. He's going to need to use his legs. And they recently said, well, maybe he's using his legs too much. He's using his, you know, I don't think it's hurting him. He's using his legs. Wait, Steve, pick a lane, dude. Pick a lane. You want him to use his legs or not?
Well, it's moderation.
Come on. Come
right?
on,
it's
Steve.
Like, you know, I love Chick-fil-A. You know, shout out our friend at Chick-fil-A, but moderation.
By the way, they gave free Chick-fil-A to all the Utah Jazz fans after Zach Edey missed two free throws.
No way.
Yeah, I think so.
What a great prize. I remember I used to, chalupas! I want to win a chalupa at a Warrior game. Oh, let's go. I'm so pumped for the Niners-Cowboy game.
Are you pumped now?
I am.
What got you pumped?
Let me tell you what has me pumped. This has me pumped right here as I start going through my notes.
Rico Dowdle.
That's the starting running back for the Cowboys. Okay? Yeah, who is what everyone's saying? Zeke Elliott might be splitting carries again with him right now. We know Zeke's done, all right? Even though he looked good in the preseason. This team is giving up almost 8 yards per pass. The Niners desperately need this right now because you got two young, inexperienced wide receivers who I think can have big Sunday night football debuts. I'm excited for Ricky Pearsall. George Kittle has to suit up in this game. And you have got to get Jordan Mason above 120. And what do I mean by 120? 120 yards on the ground. This guy, I think, would have ran for 120 if a couple calls don't get, you know, called back because of holding. We need this win. You win this one, and then we could lick our wounds during the bye week, and we can come out, and maybe we get a couple in a row before the schedule really starts to turn. Let's go.
Steve Young, what did he say? When people aren't open right away, now he starts to scramble. That's not his best thing. He can do it, but it's not his best or favorite thing. But yet, Steve Young alluded to Brock Purdy scrambling a little bit more to make plays with his legs. I don't know.
Well, let me tell you what it is. Steve Young, like the Niner fan base,
right?
We're rattled. Like this is not going the way we thought it was going to go this year.
I want solutions, not, oh my God, this guy's falling.
No,
oh my
this
God.
Is football. It's called paranoia.
No. Mike Tirico just told you to chill out.
No, he said every coach in the NFL has paranoia.
No. Mike Tirico earlier in the interview, we were talking about Shanahan and everything, and he goes, take a deep breath. It's insanity. Start talking coaching.
I love Tirico. Right? Mad respect. I'm not going to take a deep breath.
Yeah, well, you should. You did during that interview. Brock Purdy.
Out of respect to a legend.
Yeah.
You know, as a fellow broadcaster, I respect the best of the craft.
Here's what a real broadcaster said.
If Kyle was not the Niners coach, about 28 teams would hire him in 5 seconds. Unless you have a coach you love who's great, perfect. They dump their guy for Kyle in 5 seconds. So stop that insanity, okay?
Stop that insanity. You hear that, Niner fans? Stop that insanity. Somehow, some way, I became the Shanahan apologist. It's kind of fascinating. The whole audible thing.
You became the Shanahan apologist?
Somehow, I've been defending Shanahan this whole season, saying it's insanity to say he's on a hot. Remember the whole hot seat conversation earlier this season? Then it was, I
listened to an entire interview with you, Spadoni, and Baldy talking about creativity on the 49ers.
No, there has been a lack of creativity. That doesn't mean I want Shanahan fired. That's insanity. Just get a little more creative. I wanted more jet sweeps. I wanted more stuff on the perimeter. I wanted to use the speed. That doesn't mean I want a new head coach. I'm fine with Shanahan being the head coach. Niners have been highly successful in the box office, in ticket sales, on the football field.
That's some Jerry Jones zone right there.
But no, they've won games.
Okay.
They've tried to win games while being profitable. They're not just, hey, we're going to be happy being profitable. No, they want the whole damn enchilada. That's what I love about this team. So, no, I haven't been on let's fire Shanahan. That's child's play. But here's on Brock Purdy.
Voodoo
talk about
play?
Audibles, because somehow, some way, audible talk has hit the scene again. Here's what Brock Purdy said yesterday about audibles.
Usually we just have an answer built into the play. And so if we do have like an all-out blitz or something, we usually have an answer of where I should be hitting or where I should be going. And there's very rare occasions where we walk up to line and we get a look and it's, oh, shoot, they got us. And then I'm supposed to randomly make up an audible. There's nothing like that. We usually always have an answer for pressures, all-out blitz, and things like that. So that's on me to get to the right guy.
That's on him to get to the right guy. And Shanahan has been doing this ever since he had Kirk Cousins, Matt Schaub, Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Ryan, all that stuff. So it's not going to change. So I don't get why it's such a big deal right now. Fans just want him to audible at the line of scrimmage. Doesn't he have enough on his plate? Does this Brock Purdy have enough on his plate with the lack of weapons that he has now?
I think audibling is a it's a catchphrase, but I think more what people are I'm not trying to like defend the insanity of the whole audible gate thing. And if, for those that aren't paying attention online, there seems to be a big fervor over Shanahan's offense not being able to have the quarterback audible at the line, meaning change the play. But you can still flip the play, and then you have your offensive lineman being able to call out the protections. Think about like Jeff Saturday, back in the day. He's about to hike the ball to Peyton Manning. Peyton and him are going back and forth on who the Mike linebacker is, and then Jeff Saturday as the center is talking to the guard and the tackle. Hey, you get this guy, slide it over here, kick out over there. It feels like on a couple of short yardage situations, the protection doesn't change at all, and they're having a tough time there. And I think the question is like, all right, well, they've been highly successful for a long time not doing it with that checking of the line, meaning having the linemen themselves call out the protection. Should it change a little since they're not having the same kind of success that they've had in years past? I think that's a fair conversation, but to lose our minds over it, that's not real.
I mean, we lose our minds over everything. We'll get to the lines in just a second. Ron Adams, 9 o'clock. He's going to join us in 11 minutes, assistant head coach of the Golden State Warriors. And of course, we're going to replay Mike Tirico, who joined us in the 7 o'clock hour. Replay that right after Ron Adams. That's coming up on the morning roast. By the way, some also good news here. The GM of the Niners, John Lynch, saying that Dre Greenlaw, Talanoa Hufanga, and Christian McCaffrey will all absolutely be back this season. Now, Mike Silver had a report saying, yeah, Hufanga looks like he's going to be out for the year. Then all of a sudden he doubled back, said, oh, well, his agent said he's going to be back. So John Lynch clarifying everything, saying Dre Greenlaw, Hufanga, and Christian McCaffrey will all absolutely be back this season for the 49ers. So you win this game, come out to bye, you beat up a shorthanded Tampa Bay team without Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Then you host the Seattle Seahawks. I'm looking at a 3-game winning streak. I'm looking at 6-4. I'm looking at getting Greenlaw back. I'm looking at getting McCaffrey back. I'm looking at the Niners going on another damn run. That's where my mind is at. I think the team's going
to
do it.
So going back to the report. So Mike Silver originally, because I'm blocked by him online. He originally said, no, I'm just saying, I can't follow what you're saying. He said originally Talanoa Hufanga is out for the year, but now John Lynch is saying, no, he could come back.
The agent, I guess Mike Silver had a conversation with Hufanga's agent.
Okay.
His agent was like, no, he's going to be back.
Okay. I don't know if his starting spot is still there.
Probably not, but you could play special teams.
That's a good point. That's actually a really good point.
Special teams. Duke in the city. Duke, what's happening?
Come on, man. Y'all know what's going on, man. We need Shanny, man, with the players that he got. We need him to be able to design some players for the players that you got. If your starters are not there, you got to implement those other players in different kind of ways. You know what I mean? You got to make sure they get the ball in the way that they're supposed to get the ball. Mm-hmm. And one other thing I got is, face that 49ers, fatal flaw, Mortal Kombat, don't ask me. That's your boy Dakota Prescott, Debo rolling hard on the 26, goal, and McCaffrey is the one with the 450 motor, Kittle Sharp, and you like the all-night market, the Cowboys is here, and the star is a target, my team is a nine, drinking red and gold, smash the bomb down. I need all the real Niners fans to stand up with me, because this season ain't over yet, and tell them the Dallas Cowboys, we come to take your soul. You listen to 95.7 again, the morning roast with Vontae Hill and Joe Shasky. I'm Duke from the city, and we Niners Lions for life, man.
Let's go. That? Duke, you need to get these boys fired up, man. These boys fired up. Locker room speeches, pregame speeches. I'll admit it, man. I've been very disappointed with Niner fans this week. Our heads are not in the right place. Instead of saying, hey, you know what? It's week 8. We've been here before with Shanahan. You have. Look at, 2021, you're 3-5. 2022, you're 3-4. You know, you're getting off the slow start. You had the 3-game losing streak last year. We've been here before with this football team.
Remember that game during the COVID season with Richie James?
Thursday Night Football against the Green Bay Packers.
Do you think there's any way either Pearsall or Cowens could have one of those kind of games?
I do.
Given the circumstances?
I do.
Because every time we're ready to bury Shanahan in terms of the creativity, he starts pulling some rabbits out of his hat, and a guy kind of comes out of nowhere. Raheem Mostert comes to mind, Breida before him, Kittle at one point kind of came out of nowhere. Like, there's always a guy that kind of comes out of nowhere, mm-hmm. even if it's just for a short period of time. Is there any way they can get one of those guys to pop on Sunday night?
That's what we hope, but I want to run the ball. I want to run the ball on Sunday. I want to run it down the Cowboys' throat. I want to run it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. That's all I want. I don't care about style points. I don't care about stats. I just want to win going into the bye week and be 4-4, take a week off, reassess the situation, and then go on a second half run and get ready to lock and load with the Seahawks and the Rams and the Bucks and the Bills and the Packers. That's all I'm worried about. I don't care who balls out on Sunday. Just get a W.
I'm a little worried about the backup running back spot. And the only reason why I say that is that Garendo has shown some flashes, but in those hard-hitting games, he fumbled on, like, he only had like 2 or 3 touches. That was a huge fumble. They were lucky that ball went out of bounds.
Yeah, I mean, it went out of bounds, so it wasn't as huge. But, yeah, you got to take care of the football.
But those are the kind of things where, like, Shanahan won't trust you. And I get it. I'm not even trying to be mad at Shanahan. Like, I get it. Like, there were times when Breida, I remember you and me looked at each other like, oh, the game is just too physical.
Oh, Elijah Mitchell. Yeah, no doubt. But isn't that good news that Greelaw, McCaffrey, John Lynch is saying that they're absolutely coming back? Doesn't that make you feel good?
McCaffrey, I'm very skeptical on getting myself excited for. I mean, Achilles?
Bilateral Achilles.
All the other ones, I'm with them. All the other ones. But McCaffrey in particular, I just don't know what you do in this situation. And I don't think there's a big bad wolf. I don't think the player's wrong. I don't think the team's wrong. I don't even know what the right course of action is. Like, is this something where he could go out and he's fine the rest of the year? Is this something where he can go out and re-injure himself this week, 6 weeks from now, 10 weeks from now? I have no idea. Because, like, here's my question on CMCB. Let's say, hey, guess what? Here we go. CMC's back. He has 100 yards, 15 touches. Oh, they use him great. How does he feel Tuesday of the week after that first game? How does he feel Thursday, the week after that first return?
He's probably not going to practice much during the week.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, is he now locked back up again, or is he good to go?
Oh, no.
Right? That's the part where I'm like, I'm trying to caution myself from getting too optimistic and then having it fall back down again.
But the Niners have shown they can get to a Super Bowl and NFC Championship game, and they've done it without Christian McCaffrey before. Now, McCaffrey obviously was an explosive player, offensive player of the year, and I'm not saying you don't need him because that explosiveness has been sorely missed this year, especially in the red zone where the 49ers are 14-31 this season. In the red zone, 27th in the league. So you do miss McCaffrey. That instance where you can get the quick passes off, the angle routes, whatever it is, the halfback draws, the shovel passes, however you use Christian McCaffrey. But can Jordan Mason do this? Can he last? Can Grinno get up to speed?
Did Mason look the same for you?
Well, I just think Kansas City shut him down like they shut everybody else.
Yeah, but
else
did he
down.
Run the same way?
I thought he did. I thought he was running the same way. He was getting hit at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. I didn't see him finish runs the way he accustomed to, but that linebacking corps is so big.
And they're so big, and they just shut it down.
Karloftis is so underrated on the end there. He's a great player, too. Chenault is a great player. Bolton, like, they're just... Gosh, they drafted so well.
They have drafted so well. Rod Adams is going to join us in a few minutes. We're going to replay Mike Tirico at 9:20. He's calling Sunday Night Football, of course. Rod Adams, assistant coach with the Golden State Warriors. And here it is with the Golden State Warriors. They're playing in Utah. Steph, Draymond, D'Anthony Melton, all questionable with various injuries. We'll ask Rod Adams how he's feeling about his team. How are you going to do it with the rotations or whatnot? But real quick at Forbes, Warriors, there's 3 clubs in the NBA worth at least $7 billion. Warriors are worth $8.8 billion. Knicks at $7.5 billion. Lakers at $7.1 billion. Only 5 other teams in any sport. The Yankees, $7.55 billion. And 4 NFL franchises led by the Cowboys, who are valued at $10.1 billion, currently reach that lofty threshold. And the Warriors, this is crazy. And I don't know how it's calculated or whatnot, but they moved over to Chase Center. And last season alone, They racked up over $7 million in local revenue at its new home. The club's total revenue, including Central League revenue, and then they got arena debt service and revenue sharing, hit $800 million in 23-24.
For income or
income? And so only four other teams in the world, the Dallas Cowboys, Real Madrid, Manchester United, and Barcelona, have reached that milestone.
So that was revenue?
Yes.
Yeah, interesting.
Local revenue. Yeah, local revenue. They made over 700, I'll read it again, $700 million in local revenue at its new home. $700 million in local revenue.
Yeah, see, the
total revenue, including Central League revenue and Eddie got arena debt service and revenue sharing, hit $800 million.
The hardest part with these Forbes evaluations, it's like when your house gets on Redfin. It's not exactly like for like, but when your house is on Redfin, someone like, hey, we bought, like, for example, I see your house, I look at your address, I type it into Redfin, and it's like, oh, it's valued at $1 million. Well, it doesn't take into account what your loan is. Yeah, like, what's your debt? So you know that the Warriors have debt on the real estate that they built, one. And then you don't understand all of the incurred costs and all that stuff. The only way you see that money is if you refinance or you sell the business. And so it's great. It's amazing. I can't believe they're at.
To make over $700 million in local revenue, though?
Yeah.
That's insane.
No, they're wildly profitable.
Season. Yes.
They're wildly. But I also don't understand I don't know what their costs are.
Right.
You know what I mean? To like operate their business.
They've made a lot of money, no doubt. And we'll see what they do this year on the floor. I know people can't wait for the home opener on Sunday against the LA Clippers. Happens at the same time as the Cowboys game.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Whatever. I'll be up late watching the Cowboys Niners over.